A scripture lesson for today is the story of the gracious father and two sons. It's from Luke chapter 15. It's also the first story of our five-week vacation Bible school. Our theme this year is compassion, about coming to God's table with others and embracing others, though they may have hurts and faults. To understand this parable better, let's look at the context. Luke begins by telling us now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, him being Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, to understand the offense here, we need to understand the Middle Eastern view of table fellowship. It was very important. And as we turn to Middle Eastern scholars, such as Kenneth Bailey was a New Testament professor from Beirut, Lebanon. He talks about the importance of what Jesus was doing when he was eating with sinners. He was offering to people, regular, ordinary people that made mistakes like you and me. He was offering peace, trust, sisterhood, brotherhood, forgiveness. He was sharing life. And so by having meals with them, table fellowship, he was sharing the redeeming love of God the Father Almighty. With that as the context, regular, ordinary people who made mistakes are being reached out to. The Pharisees who felt they were superior are being challenged. Let's listen now to the parable itself. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger man said to the father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided the property between them. A few days later, this younger son gathered all he had, traveled to a distant country, and he squandered his property. In fact, he had nothing to eat. The story goes on that he found himself feeding the pigs, and he came to his senses and he set off to return to his father. And while he was still far off, the father saw him, was filled with compassion, and ran, put his arms around him, kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." He fully turned away from his past mistakes and confessed them, admitted them to his father. And the father said, "Quickly, bring out the robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, get the fatted calf. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Now, the younger brother's older brother. Now, the elder son was in the field, and when he came, approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he asked, "What was going on? Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he's come back safe and sound." The eldest brother became angry. The father came out to him because the eldest brother refused to go in. And he said, "Listen, for all these years, I've been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed your commands. But now this son of yours comes back and you killed the fatted calf for him." The father said, "Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours," not just a son of mine, "this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." It's an amazing story of God's grace God's forgiveness when we realize and come to our senses we've made a mistake like the younger brother. God receives us and rejoices over us. In fact, you notice God ran, the Father ran to the Son. That's how God rejoices over us and throws a party and celebrates. Thank goodness you've come to your senses. And the older son, the one who felt superior to his brother, the one who wants to keep a distance, is invited to come to the table also, to the party to celebrate. Reconnect with your brother. Let go of your unforgiveness. Let go of your hard-heartedness. Let go of your superiority. And rejoice. Come connect. So important. Both brothers, important for God. That both brothers be at the table together, reconnected. That's what God seeks. That table fellowship where we have peace, where we trust one another, where we are in sisterhood and brotherhood, and where we offer forgiveness. The story comes full circle to understanding why Jesus ate with sinners. N.T. Wright adds emphasis to this because sometimes we can understand the prodigal being forgiven when he repents. But sometimes it's hard for us to understand what did the elder brother do wrong. N.T. Wright gives an example of a friend of his who wrote a poem about a park keeper whose job was to pick up litter with a spiked pole. And surrounded in this park by the beauty of flowers and trees and sunlight sparkling through the leaves, this park keeper only had eyes for the garbage that he was to collect and the damage the garbage did to the park. Here's the poem. Destroys the nature in this park litter, he said without lifting his head. The park keeper could only see the bad and was blind to the beauty. This is an important point, particularly if we struggle with identifying what the elder brother did wrong. He could only see one component of his younger brother, his mistakes, the garbage he carried. He couldn't see the potential. He didn't have resurrection eyes to see possibilities. And that's what God the Father wanted to give him. Eyes to see potential in the other. We're so much more complex. We're so much more loving. We have potential to be the people God created us to be. Developing that sight to see and then coming to the table together. That's what God seeks. In a moment, you're going to hear Great is Thy Faithfulness, and it's a very familiar hymn, but I'd like you to hear it anew in light of this parable. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father, the gracious Father. Thy compassions, they fail not. The compassions of the Father did not fail the younger son or the older son. The compassions of the Father were for both. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies. God seeks to bring mercy, joy, forgiveness to us. Pardon for sin. That peace that endureth when we come to the table fellowship. Thine own dear presence. God being present with us when we reconnect with others. That brings us strength for today. And isn't that our hope for tomorrow?
Thank you.
On this Sunday, we celebrate particularly our 50-year members and those people of faith who have reached the milestone ages in the 90s. God bless you in your journey. Great is the faithfulness of God that has filled you and allowed you to journey in faithfulness and to witness to the love of God. You've witnessed that Covenant is a community where love has the run of the house. And following the theme of our parable today, I'd like to leave you with the phrase, grace upon grace is a way that you have demonstrated love to the greater community. When you hear that phrase, grace upon grace, think of grace to the younger son and upon grace to the elder son as well. You welcome people that have made mistakes and you don't hold up their mistakes to them. You put your arms around them and say, let's go forward in faith together. And to those who perhaps have an air of superiority or their hearts are hardened, they just can't bring themselves to welcome, embrace, or forgive, you put your arms around them and say, it's time to see the potential, the God-given potential in the others. It's time to expand our vision with resurrection eyes to see what God is doing in the other person. Thank you for providing a posture of love having the run of the house and offering grace upon grace. You've not only offered this to the community at large, but I am personally grateful. This is my last time I will address you on this 50-year member Sunday. I'm personally grateful for the love, the grace upon grace, and the mercy and joy you've given to me and to my family, to our children, and to our grandchildren as well. Thank you. I pray that you will continue to witness to the Covenant family to help them with their patience during this pandemic. We have a very lethal virus, COVID-19. Now, it's only going to be keeping us separate for a season. And one of the benefits of being 50-year members, being in your 90s, you have experience. You know that for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. For months ahead, we will continue to refrain from embracing, but we know that that season will end. And I look forward to the day, whenever it comes, where we once again exchange holy hugs and high fives and can face to face embrace and welcome each other. To all, including our folks in their 90s and 50-year members, to everyone, I pray that you will stay well and have a safe and incredible summer. To God be the glory.